This podcast is free and it's accessible to everyone thanks to support from listeners like you. If you value this show, please consider supporting its production by donating to our home, KUOW. It only takes a minute to give, and you'll be helping to support the production of this podcast. Make a donation at kuow.org or follow the link in the show notes. And thanks.
You're listening to Soundside. I'm Diana Opong in for Libby Denkman. Tens of thousands of Providence nurses, technicians, and medical assistants are about to get their slice of a big payout, totaling $220 million. That major chunk of change comes as part of a verdict in a class action wage theft lawsuit. It was filed on behalf of hourly workers against Providence Health and Services. Joining me to break down this verdict and what it means for some Providence staffers is Elise Takahama, a staff reporter at the Seattle Times. Hey, Elise, thanks for joining me.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
You know, this case relied on a time clock rounding issue. What is time clock rounding and how did it play into this case?
Providence was accused of two different wage violations. The first one is this timekeeping rounding policy. And basically, the hospital used to pay its hourly staffers based on time worked rounded to the nearest 15-minute increment. They have discontinued this policy. They threw it out in October. But before then, it basically meant that if a staffer were to clock in at, say, 1:53 p.m. for a 2 p.m. shift, this timekeeping system would report their start time at 2 p.m. and then pay them as if they had started then instead of 7 minutes earlier. The same goes for if they clocked out at after their scheduled end time, the system would round them back to the nearest 15-minute increment. So basically, the complaint argued that this rounding policy generally favored Providence and resulted in years and years of underpaying hourly employees.
The complaint also argued that Providence failed to give enough meal breaks to employees that worked more than 10 hours at a time. How did that end up impacting the pay that workers were taking home with each paycheck?
Yeah, so per state law, any employee at this hospital who works more than 10 hours is supposed to get two 30-minute meal breaks. And oftentimes, I mean, of course, we know in healthcare systems, this is pretty common. The attorney who's representing the plaintiffs in the class said that often it'll be like a 12.5-hour shift when they're initially scheduled to work 10 hours or something like that. And so they should be getting these two 30-minute meal breaks. According to the complaint, Providence was only giving these employees one meal break and then not paying them for their second missed meal break. So that, of course, over the course of time, totals up to quite a bit as well.
How long has this battle been going on? This isn't a new issue. Like, it didn't just start in 2023.
Yeah, this complaint was initially filed back in 2021. So it has just taken a while to get these other class members added to kind of get some of these numbers figured out. So it's been a years-long case.
And was the court able to determine the scale of the situation? How many hours did staffers work but weren't paid?
Yeah, that's a good question. So this came up during the trial. The plaintiff attorneys worked on a whole analysis around this. And I believe overall, it was about 234,000 hours of unpaid work time. So that's a massive amount of time. And then on the other violation around the meal break periods, the attorney's analysis ended up totaling that there were about 3.7 million eligible second meal period shifts over the course of this time period, 2018 to 2023. And then there were more than like 3.6 million missed periods. So violation rate of like 99%.
That's a lot. You reported that damages for these unpaid wages initially totaled about $98 million, but the final settlement amount was higher by about $122 million. Why is that?
Yeah, so per state law, any employee at this hospital who works more than 10 hours is supposed to get two 30-minute meal breaks. And oftentimes, I mean, of course, we know in healthcare systems, this is pretty common. The attorney who's representing the plaintiffs in the class said that often it'll be like a 12.5-hour shift when they're initially scheduled to work 10 hours or something like that. And so they should be getting these two 30-minute meal breaks. According to the complaint, Providence was only giving these employees one meal break and then not paying them for their second missed meal break. So that, of course, over the course of time, totals up to quite a bit as well.
And how would that sum break down into individual payments for these staffers?
Yeah, so under Washington state law, workers are basically entitled to double damages when an employer willfully withholds wages owed. So back in January, a King County Superior Court judge did determine that Providence's violations were willful or with intent. And so that $98 million gets automatically doubled. And then plus interest, it totals about $220 million for all these employees.
So they're going to take into account what each individual employee was not paid and make sure that they're paid, is what I'm hearing you say.
It's a good question. It really depends on the particular employee. It ranges from a couple hundred to a couple $1,000. The plaintiffs who initially filed this, the lead plaintiffs, I think it's a couple $100. But again, it really depends on how much the employee was working, how many missed meal breaks they had, how long they were working at the hospital for, things like that.
And how many plaintiffs are there? How many employees is this amount going to be distributed amongst?
Yeah, so overall, it's about 33,000 employees.
Okay. And so they're all going to get hopefully their back wages, it sounds like, plus some interest. What kind of response has Providence Health and Services provided regarding this payout or lawsuit?
Right, exactly. It's not like this sum gets divided evenly amongst all these employees. They're each going to get their share for what the hours worked were. Providence has been pretty adamantly fighting these allegations. They did not say much to us, did not grant an interview, but said in a statement that it was really disappointed with the outcome of this case. They said that they will continue to fight this and appeal this. And so we'll see what happens as the next few months go on and what will happen with this. But as of now, the jury decided on the settlement last week. And so hopefully these employees, according to the attorneys, are going to get paid over the next several weeks. But again, we're not really sure what's going to happen with any appeals.
And as you've reported, Providence has indicated that they're going to try to push back against this ruling and fight the ruling. What are you going to be looking out for as you continue to follow this story?
Yeah, we'll definitely look out for that appeal. Would love to continue to hear more from Providence. But of course, because they do intend to appeal this, they have treated this kind of as ongoing litigation and have declined to comment further. But we would love to hear from employees as well who have been impacted by this, who might get this payment, as well as others who also might be going through ongoing issues at Providence or other hospitals. These wage violations are something that we're really interested in among healthcare institutions.
Elise Takahama is a staff reporter at the Seattle Times. Great to talk to you today, Elise. Thanks for your reporting.
Yeah, great to talk to you. Thanks so much again.
Thanks for listening to Soundside. By the way, this show is only possible because listeners support us. If you are able to give right now, check out the show notes for a link to donate. And don't forget, you can listen live on KUOW 94.9 FM Seattle at noon and 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, or anytime online at KUOW.org.
Seattle in the 90s. A tidal wave of iconic music roars out of this sleepy city and launches a pop culture revolution. Here's a story you haven't heard. Let the Kids Dance is a new podcast about the rise and fall of Seattle's teen dance ordinance, the law that made it illegal for young people to go to concerts. A story of moral panic, grassroots activism, and an unstoppable music community that fought for its freedom. Listen to Let the Kids Dance from KUOW and the NPR Network.